What is up, Steelers Nation? Thank you so much for jumping on to episode 2 of Steelers Collective. I'm Noah Streckbine, joined always by the legends themselves, Mark Caboli and Ray Fittipaldo. Find us on youtube.com/Steelers Collective or check us out anywhere you get your podcasts. It's a good one here in the Berg. The Pittsburgh Steelers begin week 2 of OTAs, but the bigger storyline, we think, is who wasn't there last week and who may be on the verge of some bigger news outside of throwing passes, catching passes, maybe looking a little bit bigger or smaller than they did a year ago. We're diving into all of that, plus more. As always, toss your questions in the chat. We'll get to them at the end of the show. Boys, how are we feeling today?
A little wet. I think it just rained right over my house. That was it in Pittsburgh, PA. I don't think it rained anywhere in the West Hills or the South, wherever you're at, Noah.
The Island Park, no rain over here, just where you are.
It has been very Seattle-like here for the last week or so.
That's awesome. I'm glad. And I blame Caboli, as always. Yeah. You know, that's just the easy way to go about it. Let's talk some Pittsburgh Steelers football. Week 2 of OTAs. We'll get down to the facility tomorrow, Thursday and Friday, to view some of practice and then to talk to some assistant coaches at the same time. Before we kind of dive into contracts to watch, players who aren't going to be there, do you expect anything different from what it was a year ago or what it was a week ago in terms of maybe somebody who is there who wasn't there last week?
You know what, guys? I think they'll be there, but we're going to have to keep a keen eye on who participates, right?
Yes.
I don't know if we're allowed to say that or not. I don't know. First of all, in the years past, we'd be able to determine who is out there participating in team drills. I don't even know if we're going to be allowed to watch any of this stuff coming up, at least when minicamp gets here. But if they do show up, if the Queen, the Herbigs, and those guys show up, I wouldn't imagine. I don't think either one of them have anything to stand on to say we want – a contract, maybe Herbig. I can see why he could be a little bit upset, but not Queen. So I would imagine we have to keep an eye on who actually participates later in this week or in the minicamp to be able to determine if they're holding in.
Yeah, listen, I don't think it's going to be a whole lot different from last week. All the guys with 1 year left on their deal didn't do much last week in the open periods that we were allowed to watch and report on. I would not expect that to change this week, guys. Now, if you fast forward to minicamp, if you guys remember, all the guys who had contract issues last year, they were the good soldiers. They showed up for minicamp. But then when you get to training camp, that's when the hold-in takes place. And I got to tell you guys, I think the hold-in is a really good bargaining chip for these players. It's not something that the NFL owners and front offices have been able to get their arms around. So you show up, you're not a distraction, you're in team meetings, but you're just not practicing. And I think we could see one or two, maybe even three guys for the Steelers do that once they get to St. Vincent in July.
So I expected at least one, Joey Porter Jr. Feel like that's the easy answer here. It kind of feels like the moment he actually starts practicing is the day that you go, all right, start getting that contract extension story ready. We're on the verge of it. We're on the goal line, but not the Brandon Ayuk goal line. As I said, the real life, we're almost there. Players getting signed, goal line. Who are the other two? Who are the other two guys? Is Herbig and PQ the names?
I think you could see Herbig and Patrick Queen do it. I don't know that Washington or Benton would do it.
Yeah.
I don't think they have as much juice as those other two guys, but if Herbig wants to sign here, and all signs to me point to that he really enjoys it here, if he wants to sign here, I think that's a good chip for him. And I think the same with Patrick Queen. Now, the only difference with Patrick Queen, guys, is I don't know that he would want to re-sign here with this new coaching staff. I do think he was a Tomlin guy, brought in by Tomlin. He might want to move on. So I don't know if the hold-in would be a great strategy for Patrick Queen, but yeah, I think if Nick Herbig wants to be here and he wants to get a deal done, that's a pretty good way to go about it.
Yeah, the thing is, like I said, we're going to be able to notice this, especially in minicamp. I mean, you'll see it goes through individual, but we don't even know how this minicamp is going to be set up. I mean, you know how they did it in the past with at least Hayward. Oh, you know, he's going to get his reps during the season. Then we find out, no, he's been holding out or holding in the entire time. Right. With what? We know what he can do. With this new coaching staff, I'm curious to see if that goes a little bit differently. Maybe they want to go and be the good soldier. As for Queen, I agree with you. I think he views this as his last year and he's going to move on. So I don't think it would benefit him sitting out and wanting a new contract, because I think he might want to get moved closer to, you know, the bayou, to be honest with you. He likes the fishing. I don't think he's going out with Jennings Dunker and fishing in the old Mon yet. So I'm thinking Patrick Queen might be more than willing to move on from next year. So Herbig's the only one, I think. I think I agree. I mean, Porter, of course.
Yeah, Porter.
If Joey Porter shows up and participates more than a walkthrough type of thing, I'd be stunned.
Yeah, I agree. I agree with that. Can I toss out maybe a crazy hot take here? I think there's a chance PQ is going to push to get traded before the season, to just say, like, I'm ready to go. I'm 26 years old. I think he's 26, maybe 27. And I'm on the last year of my deal. There's going to be somebody out there who wants to extend me now before I go through what could be a bit of a hiccup year, because I'm transitioning into a new defense. I'm learning new guys around me. Instead of that, I'll just get traded now and sign my deal somewhere else. I mean, I'm not going to say that that's like happening, but it's definitely in the back of my head as a possibility.
Well, for a team that's all in, Noah, guy who played almost every snap last year.
Every single one.
When he was healthy.
2 years in a row, too.
Yeah. I mean, we don't know what it's going to be like with McCarthy. I mean, maybe he's not as favored as he was with the previous staff. But if they are all in this year and Queen is their three-down linebacker, I have a hard time seeing them saying, okay, Patrick, we'll acquiesce to your demands and, you know, we'll trade you for – I don't even know what the compensation would be, guys. 1 year left, I mean, what do you guys think, a fourth round pick?
I think that's what they're looking for. I think that they got offered I don't know this, but I have the hunch that when all those rumors are floating around, they're offered like a fifth or a sixth, and they weren't going to take it. So
Did they not owe him some money and paid him?
They did. They paid him. It was like $3 million. They gave him a $3 million bonus, which, you know, usually points to them not leaving. I understand that part of it.
I just don't think there's much behind him to be able to grant this trade, to be honest with you. Are you going to believe in Cole Holcomb? You're going to believe in Malik Harrison? No. Are you going to believe in Peyton Wilson, who I think is going to take that next step, to be able to take that next step, because we thought he was going to take it next year. Well, he took one step in the tackling part, but the pass cover stuff took a little bit of a beating last year. So I think you have to, if you're all in this year, just like Aaron Rodgers and guys like that, I think you have to be all in with Patrick Queen too.
Yeah.
I agree. I do agree. All right, let's talk about the other guys here. Let's start with the name that we all expect to get signed, Joey Porter Jr. I mean, Omar doesn't seem to be in a big rush to sign any of these guys. It kind of feels like the Steelers are taking this real slow. Obviously, they need to create a little bit of cap space. They did that with Pat Freiermuth over the weekend. They'll probably continue to do that in a couple of ways. Is Joey a guy that could happen before training camp, or is it a training camp, you know, in your eyes, it's more towards August? Like, at what point do you guys see this happening?
Ooh, that's a good one. Probably, I would think, first week of training camp, if I was just going to spitball it right here. It seems like when a lot of things end up getting done. I know what Deontay Johnson 1 year got one done there. I think Boswell's last one before this one was done at that point as well. That's where I would look at. I wouldn't look at anything before that, but I would imagine that Joey Porter knows his market value, and I think the Steelers, you know, will get close to what that market value is and realize he has a legacy here as well. It's not like they're going to lowball him. They're going to offer him a decent amount of money. If it's anywhere upward to 20 to 25 million bucks, 23 million, something like that, it's well-deserved. So, Omar said, you remember a couple months ago, or maybe last year, I think, when he said, you know what, people complain about me being patient. I thought that's like a virtue of mine. So he's not going to rush to anything. He'll let it play out until September 11th if he has to.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. If you guys remember Omar's first year, he got a deal done with Minka in June. Okay. Yep. So if both sides are motivated, I could see something potentially getting done in June. Now, the big difference is, and this was the case with TJ, when you're talking about edge rushers, corners, where the money's going to be really big. It's not like safety money where, you know, safety money, running back money, anything like that. When you're talking 20, 25 million a year, those are the negotiations that tend to go deeper into the summer. So I'm with Mark. I could even see it like TJ. I could see that going up till, you know, the last week or two before the season starts, if they can't come to an agreement. Let me tell you this. If people think Joey Porter Jr. is going to give them a hometown discount,
no.
Or if he's not going to play hardball, they are mistaken. I was remember being up at St. Vincent, turning on the NFL Network back in, I think it was 2006, 2007. Joey Porter was sitting in his dorm, I think, sitting somewhere in Latrobe, talking about not having a contract with the Steelers. And then the next thing you know, that was his final year. And he was elsewhere the next year. So business is business. I'm sure they want Joey Porter Jr. here, but they're going to have to come to an agreeable number to get that done.
They shouldn't be giving him a hometown discount anyways, and they shouldn't be looking for one. Like, he's a true cornerback one, and the best part about Joey Porter Jr. is, like, he had the sophomore slump, but he's now getting better, and you're seeing it. And those are the guys that you say, okay, he's not at his peak yet. How much better can he get? Plus, he has people around him. Don't mess it up. Don't mess up the one core piece of the secondary. The first time you've had a core piece to your secondary since Minka, and especially at the cornerback position for a long time. In terms of Nick Herbig, who I think is the second biggest name, maybe we're all in agreement on this one, maybe we're not. I think the hype of Nick Herbig this year is overhyped because I don't think he's getting a deal done. I think Nick Herbig's a franchise tag guy, and I don't think either side is going to be looking to really get a deal done right now anyways.
Aren't you guys intrigued by what Patrick Graham is going to do with him as in terms of getting three outside linebackers?
We hear that every year, Ray. Come on.
I know. But
but different coach. Different coach.
It's a different coaching staff now. I think they really want to get more out of him. They understand that this guy is an elite pass rusher when he gets into the games. The issue is they just can't get him into the game often enough because T.J. Watt and Alex Highsmith are so good, and they're not deserving to come out and just give away snaps. So I don't know if you want to say they've been fortunate or unfortunate, but they have had injuries the last couple of years. Mm-hmm. We've gotten to see how good Nick Herbig is. And maybe if those two guys, if Watt and Highsmith remain healthy this year, maybe this is the year that they are forced to get him on the field in other ways.
Yes.
I think that's why you wait till next year with Herbig. You see how it plays out. I mean, maybe Highsmith, maybe Watt fall on their face and it's time to move on with those, Highsmith or Watt. And then you can do with Herbig. You can add him to the mix and sign him to a big deal and maneuver it around. I don't think there's somebody putting a gun to your head saying, I got to sign Nick Herbig or we're going to lose him. Worry about that next year. You got tools to be able to keep him around, like the franchise tag.
That number's got to be, what, 35?
But you put that in place just so you could sign him, right? Just to hold him in place, right?
Yeah, but you're going to – then he's going to expect at least 35 for the first year. Even if that number goes down, he's going to be looking for a big first end, like a lot of guaranteed money in that first year. Maybe it's not 35, but he's looking for –
Is he worth that right now? I don't think he is.
I don't think he's worth 35, but think he's worth 25.
Is he?
But the franchise tag is the average of the top 10 salaries.
Yeah, so it's going to be 35.
Doesn't matter what he's worth. If that's your device to get him to remain on the roster, then that's just the business side of it, you know?
Yeah.
I'm just worried about him having a ho-hum average year. You know, hamstring issues again, and then you commit to him this year, then all of a sudden you're thinking, oh, man, I don't know what we did. We should have waited. I think that's why the patience might pay off for the Steelers in this case. Just wait. Let's see what he can do.
I agree. I think T.J. Watt's a sign of caution as well. I think you just did this at edge rusher. And I'm not saying it came back to bite you in the butt, but it hasn't. You haven't gotten the return on interest yet, and you're more concerned about this year than you were last year. Maybe because of that, you take a precautionary step. Either way, I don't think Herbig gets signed. Like, I think that we could talk until we're blue in the face about if it's going to happen. It's not going to happen. Here's one that I think could happen. Darnell Washington. I think if they're going to sign a number two, like a second guy to a contract extension this year, it's going to be the tight end. I think that big 6'7", 300-plus-pound man is going to sneak right up on us.
There's a market there because you had the big tight end sign, from the Ravens to the Chargers, I believe, and he got about $8 million a year. He got 3 for $24 million.
Yeah.
That sounds like the jumping-off point for me if I'm Darnell Washington's agent.
Yeah.
Listen, Darnell did more last year to increase his value than I think anyone would have imagined. His ability to catch the ball, to run people over, to show off his athleticism every once in a while. He proved that he's much more than a backup run blocking tight end. If there's some team out there that is willing to overpay in free agency, if he gets that far, you could even be talking like $10 million a year. But you know, I agree with you. I think the Steelers are smart enough to maybe try to get that done beforehand. I think he outsnapped Freiermuth last year. I know that's going to change this year because I don't think he's going to be ignored like he was with the previous staff. But he's going to play almost as many snaps, I think, as Pat Freiermuth.
But are you either one of you guys a little concerned about that knee? I mean, coming out of college, that knee was an issue. I think some teams – took him off the board, and it's always going to be in the back of some minds. I mean, does that hinder into this at all? I mean, he didn't show any ill effects of it last year, but that 2 years ago, it was like, man, I walked like Darnell Washington. It was that bad.
I think that's why you sign him now, because then you don't give him a bunch of guaranteed money. That's how you protect yourself on that. You just first year guaranteed or whatever, $8 million, and then you move on after that. You're not going to take a risk. Like, at this point, if Darnell Washington's knee becomes an issue, it's not like it's going to explode overnight. Just like you said, we watched this man limp through the locker room for a full year, played a full season, even when he couldn't practice. So you could have that 1 year of like, hey, here's your money. But after that, it's kind of a security blanket.
I don't know about you, Ray. I think he's talking me into this because this offense wants to run the ball, power football, and what better guy to have than the 318-pound, 6'9" tight end to lead the way? It's not like Freiermuth is going to do that. I mean, he's okay.
No, he's not.
He's not. Washington. I was being nice, Ray.
He's a valuable piece. And let me tell you something else about, the medical evaluations at the Combine. You guys remember when Landon Dickerson – was drafted by the Eagles a few years back. First round talent, went early in the second round. Eagles doctors were okay with him. They probably realized he wasn't going to have a 10-year career, but that guy got to a second contract. Now, I understand he had some issues last year, but he's already like in year six or year seven. So if you can do the calculus, if you're the Steelers and say, hey, we just want to get to year six or year seven and everything else after that will be gravy, maybe that's their MO. And like you said, Noah, it could be a 3-year deal instead of a 5-year deal. They could just, front load it. And that those years 4 and 5 will just be, funny money at the end.
Exactly. Do you guys see anybody else getting signed or at least being a candidate? Braden Fajoco, I think, said on his podcast a couple months ago that he was talking to Keanu Benton and he's already in negotiations. I personally don't think Keanu Benton's getting extended. Maybe I'm wrong.
Negotiations. What's that? Hey, you're checking in here a little bit. I just don't know if you got Sebastian Joseph Day, if you got Derek Harmon, you got Y.A. Black. What am I doing with Keanu Benton right now of being able to sign him right now? It just doesn't make any sense to me.
None.
Meaning that he's probably going to sign first.
And the whole issue is just he's not – a run-stuffing nose guard. And if you really want to improve your run defense, maybe Sebastian Joseph Day will end up being that guy this year. Maybe Keanu Benton is more of a sub-package guy, but they have not been a good run defense since Keanu Benton has arrived. And, you know, you could talk your way around that and say he's been more than serviceable in sub. That might be the case. He does add a little pass rush juice every once in a while, but if your main job is to stop the run, in my opinion, he hasn't done that well enough to warrant a second contract, but we'll see what this new staff thinks about it.
No, and plus, on top of that, you're not going to pay Keanu Benton scraps. Like, you're not going to get Keanu Benton maybe doesn't deserve a second contract, so we're not going to pay him. He has a market if he hits free agency. Mm-hmm. He's got a ton of upside. People like his pass rush ability. He's going to understand that. His agent's going to understand that. He's going to tell him, hey, you hold off a year, don't sign for nothing. You'll get a decent contract somewhere, even if it's with like the Jets. You know what I mean? Somebody's going to offer you money and you just got to go for it.
He could be the next Javon Hargrave, right?
Exactly. Exactly.
Well, I think he has, like you said, I think he has got to move off the zero for that to happen, man. You got to kick outside a little bit.
I think the Steelers should have kicked him outside. The fact that they didn't, I think, surprises all of us to this day. But now you don't because you have Derek Harmon. Cam's going to play forever. So
I'm interested in Sebastian Joseph Day.
Me too. Me too. I'm
really interested in see what he can bring.
Him and Y.A. Black.
He's a big man.
Yes. That is a fun combination of him and Y.A. Black in the middle. Because it's just that's the vet and young guy that you kind of want to see if they can develop. All right. Let's transition off of this. Let's talk Steelers practices. We went last week. We saw two practices. We'll see two more this week. I think all three of us have acknowledged at different times already that it is very different. And how different it is, I mean, maybe it's just because we've covered the same coach for so long, but I think it took us all back a little bit. And we sat there and went, all right, this is new. This is unique. And I think it's honestly impressive in some ways. What were your guys' thoughts of Mike McCarthy's first practices, how they were organized, you know, down to even the coaches getting called onto the field to start things off, which I've never witnessed before, but maybe you guys have. What were your thoughts?
Very detail oriented, man. There's no messing around. They have whatever it was, 90 minutes or up to 2 hours to be on the field, and there is no messing around whatsoever. And you're right. I mean, we've been 19 years of Mike Tomlin on exactly what's going on.
Yeah.
Imagine what some of these vets, you know, imagine what Cam Hayward thinks. Imagine what TJ Watt thinks, or Highsmith's been around 7 years thinking, well, where am I going now? But I think the attention to detail is just overwhelming compared to what we've seen in the past, at least in the OTA setting. I don't know if you can keep this up throughout the entire training camp and out in St. Vincent College or anything like that. But I've been very impressed with how McCarthy and the staff in general, I mean, it's a big staff, to be able to be out there and have individual work with each of these players has been really eye-opening to me. Does it translate into anything more than what it did the past 19 years? Not sure, but it's totally different. And it's pretty interesting to see what they come up with next. I never saw one of those, what do they call that, the old fire drill kick in OTAs where they raced out the kicker. Like, I'm like, well, this doesn't happen until training camp, and we're doing it in OTAs? Pretty impressive.
Yeah, I mean, listen, it is really, really different. I've already started thinking ahead to training camp, you know, probably not going to have seven shots, probably not going to have backs on backers. I mean, they'll have their own fun drills, but everything that we've come, you know, to love about the Steelers practices, it's going to be different. Even guys, there's no Friday night lights practice this year. It's Saturday night lights. So, you know, even that is different. So
there's no afternoon practices where we're going to try to, you know, get ahead of Doppler.
No, that was my biggest takeaway with training camp immediately was this is a morning schedule. We're out of here by 2 o'clock, 3 o'clock.
Don't worry about Doppler.
Nah, nobody's getting rained out this year. I agree. I mean, it was, again, I'm pretty new to new coaches because I've only covered one NFL team. I've only covered one NFL coach, and I didn't think it went any other way. Like, I thought you just practice. I thought everybody was so professional that you essentially didn't even need to do anything. The way McCarthy came out here and even the coaches follow certain like times down to the minute is it's impressive. It catches your eye. Like Kaboli said, does it do anything? We're going to find out. But I think it's a change. And I think it's one that, you know, if you're looking for reasons to be optimistic, I think that's a reason to be optimistic.
Isn't that what you want, though? Like, if you make a change, and I know the change was made for them because, you know, they didn't fire Tomlin. But if you're going to have a change, I do think you want it to be different because you want to challenge guys and you want to put them in different circumstances. And maybe T.J. Watt and Cam Hayward and a bunch of other guys got too comfortable, right? I mean, maybe it just got to be a little bit stale. Maybe they have to be challenged in different ways. I don't hate it in that regard.
No,
I'm sure it did get stale. They might never admit it.
Right.
But come on, you do the same thing for 15 years, 18 years, whatever Cam Hayward's been around. What has it been now, 16 years?
Yep.
It gets stale. Yeah. And I was never a proponent of, you know, that type of thought of Tomlin's message getting stale because there's so much turnover. But seeing a new coach in place, I'm like, yeah, this is something that I can get on board with. Of probably should have happened before 2023 or what year are we in? 25. That's it.
26.
I lost three years.
You know when I would have done it? I would have done it in 2017 after he made those comments to Tony Dungy on national TV about what did he say? It's going to be us and the Patriots and the championship game again. To me, that's when Tomlin jumped the shark. Now, I understand you can't do it after a 13-3 season, but to me, that was kind of the flashpoint.
Was that the last time they won a playoff game?
Wait, what happened? What did I miss? What happened?
He went on NBC pregame. They were playing Sunday Night Football in December.
Yeah.
He went on with Tony Dungy on pregame, taped interview, taped it earlier in the week, and basically said it's going to be us and the Patriots again in the AFC Championship game. Now, I'm paraphrasing, but that's definitely what he said or meant. And they get boat raced at home by the Jaguars before that could even happen.
Wow.
You didn't know that. You didn't remember that.
I don't remember. I was still in college when that happened. I remember them getting boat raced by the Jaguars.
Yeah.
But a shout out to Jalen Ramsey. But I don't remember Mike Tomlin's comments. That's crazy. I can't believe I never knew that.
You're stunned to them. What about the unleash hell in December? Then they go lose to Cleveland and Oakland within the span of 7 days, I think.
Yeah, that one I remember. I remember a lot of them. Okay. I remember the original cut your eyelids off in Kansas City before they lost by 30. You know, there's a lot of good ones. That's great.
People disagree with me, but I think that was the point where I started having some thoughts.
That was a long time ago. Second thoughts
about Tomlin.
At 9 years. It went 9 years.
Yeah, it was a long time ago.
Wow. That's crazy. But maybe you're not wrong. Here we are. We're going to find out. All right. That's everything on our agenda. We're going to start diving into everybody's questions. So toss them in the chat. We'll get to as many of them as we can. First, we got a word from our boys over at Prize Picks, and I gotta toss it up here because I forgot to toss it up here earlier, as I do all the time. That's all right. Shout out to Prize Picks, America's number one sports picks app and the best place to win cash while watching sports. It's easy. Just pick your player, set your lineups, and watch. You'll pick more or less on individual stats for each player, or you'll pick winner spreads or total on any major game. We got one this week. A little Myles Garrett over on the 14 sacks in a season on top of Aaron Rodgers, 19.5 passing touchdowns, and Michael Pittman Jr. for receiving touchdowns. We talked to Aaron Rodgers. Does Myles Garrett get 14 sacks, and does Michael Pittman Jr. get 4 touchdowns?
Myles Garrett, you would have to imagine that's at the midway point unless he gets hurt, right?
Yeah.
Honestly, I mean.
I'm there too.
You might not be wrong.
I'm a little worried about this, though. I mean, when was the last time he had less than that? It's been a while.
It's been a long – I don't think he's ever had – maybe it's 12 – but he's never had less than – it's either 12 or 14 sacks in his career. I want to say it's 12, which is a crazy impressive number. Yeah, impressive.
I definitely would take that, but it makes you wonder a little bit. Huh, they're trying to set me up here. But it's definitely put Myles Garrett over 14.
True.
Easy.
Ray, you going – You going Michael Pittman Jr., 4 touchdowns this season?
That's actually that's a pretty good number, because you would expect Pittman's going to draw some attention away from Metcalf. Metcalf should be more explosive, maybe get a few more touchdowns than he had last year. I don't know what's going to be left for a guy like Pittman, who's probably going to be more of a possession receiver. So that's actually a really good number. I'd say over maybe, but I don't think he's going to get more than 5 or 6.
Yeah. I think that
might be close.
Sometimes you got to walk the line. Using our promo code HMA or by clicking the link below, new users who play $5 get $50 in lineups. Just download the app using the link and the promo code. Can't wait to hear your lineups. All right, shout out to Prize Picks. Shout out to all of our chatters. Toss your questions in the chat. We'll get to as many of them as we can before we get out of here. Let's kick it off with Maddie. Why didn't they try harder to draft a linebacker in the draft if they can see a future without Queen? I think you add on to this, why did they spend so much time scouting, linebackers and then totally ignore it in the draft?
The way I look at it is off-ball linebackers shouldn't be drafted in the first round unless they're elite, 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 Roquan Smith. I think you can grab one of those guys on a second contract like they did Queen. So that's why. I mean, you can't grab quarterbacks. You can't grab wide receivers like Bernard, or even forget about tackles. So when it comes down to it, if those guys were off the board, I'm sure they would have explored a little bit more. But that's one position I think you can just find in the open market here next March.
And the guys they did scout pretty hard, guys, they were what, second, third, fourth round type, so they weren't going to use that first round pick. So, you know, there were a few guys they had their eye on, and I think maybe under the right circumstances, you know, maybe they would have drafted a guy in the second round. But again, like, what's the shelf life of a really good inside linebacker? The guy's name is escaping me right now, but he was really good for the Bengals. And then he just fell off a cliff.
Logan Wilson.
Second round pick.
He doesn't even play for him anymore.
Yeah, he doesn't play for anybody anymore. He's still free agent.
I thought they traded him, no?
They did, and then he got cut.
So he was really good for, like, what, 3 or 4 years, and then off a cliff.
Keekly, too. Keekly is a Hall of Famer. I know injuries had some issues there, but still.
Yeah, it's a tough position, man. You gotta be able to shed 330-pound guard. You got to be able to run with slot receivers and tight ends. I mean, that is not an easy job, and that's it's also wear and tear on your body too. So maybe those guys get worn down too. I don't know.
No, I agree with that. I the only thing that caught me by surprise was how much attention they actually spent on the position and how many guys were still. Kyle Lewis was still there at the beginning of the fourth round. Jacob Rodriguez, I believe, was there in the second round. I mean, Harold Perkins Jr. went until like the seventh, and they met with him at the combine and brought him in for a visit. Totally ignored it. I think that it leaves the door open to see what Peyton Wilson does. That's what I think they did, is say
Peyton Wilson's good.
Yeah, what can
Peyton Wilson take Kyle Lewis when they could take Reaching?
That's the question. It's the question everybody's asking. Creek? We're going Creek. What's the possibility that Bernard will take the number 2 wide receiver from Michael Pittman Jr. before the end of the season? Yeah.
Just like my algebra grade in eighth grade, 0.0.
I agree with this. I don't think there's any world. Michael Pittman Jr. also is like not really? I think people are like, nah, well, he kind of fell off in Indianapolis. It's like, did he or did he not have a quarterback for the last 3 years or anybody else going on there? So I think Michael Pittman Jr. is a great number 2 to have. Great number 2.
And they're paying him $20 million a year. They're going to make sure he's the number 2.
Yes. Plus, Aaron, we're still up in the air on if it's just Roman or if he doesn't like young guys, you know? And if he doesn't like young guys, Jeremy might be 4. But Roman might pass him just because he's got enough experience.
Benny Sko, he knows what ice cream
Aaron Benny likes. Benny Sko, for sure. Which, you know, kind of leads us to I had it here. Oh, I must have lost it. That's all right. There was a Benny Sko question. Sasha, Noah, who are you talking to tomorrow? My name is Sasha, by the way. I got it. I corrected myself. Who are you guys interested in talking to tomorrow? To me, it's Dry Evans is like top of my list by a mile. I think Jason Simmons is up there as well.
Whew. I mean, you have to throw Campy in there, right? Campin.
You got to draw. Yeah, you got to throw Campin in there. I mean, to me, Evans, just because of how Troy talked about him.
Yeah, Pecco is an interesting one just because he has very limited coaching experience. And he got, you know, he battled. I mean, not battled, but he's almost the same age as Cam Hayward, maybe a little bit older. But now, if you see that guy, it looks like he could still play. I mean, I wonder what he can bring to the table that's, you know, different, because normally you have those defensive line coaches the past couple of years or, you know, really haven't played. Carl Dunbar and John Mitchell, I mean, they're very respected. But Pekka's an interesting guy. I would like to, I mean, I don't know if anybody's even talked to Adam Henry at all. I don't even know if I know what he looks like.
I don't know if I know what he looks like either. And I was impressed by that hire, but I don't know if I know who he looks like. Pecco's another good – him and – when I saw him the first time, I was like, oh, that's like – that's a player. That's a full-blown. This guy could go on the field right now. Yeah. And I think he'd be better than half the guys on the field.
What about Kugler, man? Kugler's a local kid. Went to North Allegheny. Was a ball boy here. His dad was the offensive line coach here. Tremendous human, Sean Kugler. Went to Purdue. Went to New England. He's been all over the place, which was a little bit of a surprise of a hire there, but he's an up-and-comer who has some offensive line backgrounds as well.
I agree.
Yeah, to me, I'm with you. Jari Evans, I mean, he's not a Hall of Famer yet, but I think he's going to get there. And there just aren't that many guys who make a lot of money as players and then they want to, like, get into the coaching racket. Like, it's hard, man. The hours – are hard, and it's a rough job. So to me, that's an interesting one. I know Munchak did it, but not a lot of guys who, you know, made a ton of money in the league want to go and become coaches.
Yeah, I very, very much so agree with that one. Here's the Benny Sko question. Do you think Sko comes in for certain blocking downs? He proved to be a great asset and even caught a pass or two. He caught the first touchdown of the season last year for the Pittsburgh Steelers. I think Ben Skowronek is a guy that everybody ignores when talking about the wide receiver position because he will have some sort of role. I wouldn't be surprised if he has a bigger role than Roman Wilson does, even if Roman's technically wide receiver four on the Steelers, just because he could block. In certain situations, he's reliable for 8 yards, and him and Aaron Rodgers have a great relationship.
No, I believe he only had 4 catches last year. Am I right on that one?
Yeah, he didn't have many.
Maybe
it seems like it would be a lot more.
Were two of them touchdowns?
The first one
against the Jets. I know that.
But he's a guy, I've said this for years now. Well, maybe last year. You need guys like Benny Skowronek to be able to win championships. He's that type of gritty, in your face type of guy that you need. Locker room, everybody loves him to be able to win championships, and it doesn't matter what stats he does. We saw what he did. He's a legend for just being a gunner. Who else can say that?
Yeah.
So plus he got the ear of one 42, soon to be 43-year-old quarterback. So that's not a bad gimmick to have either.
I like him too. I just wonder if he was more of an Arthur Smith creation, and how is he exactly going to fit into McCarthy's offense? We'll have to find out. But I like him too. Good play. Yeah.
I agree. Ryan, with how bad Drew Aller is, go get Sorsby in the supplemental draft. Would you go get Brendan Sorsby? I'd go get Brendan Sorsby tomorrow, but I could talk till I pass out about that. So I'll give you guys the floor.
I don't know how good he was really in college. I mean, I don't know if it's hard to say because I don't know if you trust a guy like that with all of his
He did a little gambling.
A little bit. In the old facility, they might have firewalls against that in there. But could you imagine now having 5 quarterbacks on the roster?
Yeah, it's too much.
I know they were snooping around doing some due diligence, but that doesn't mean that they would draft him.
Mark, maybe. Noah doesn't remember 2017. Do you think he remembers Art Schliester from Ohio State back in the day?
You remember, who was it? Steve Walsh from, I think he went to Dallas from Miami. He was a supplemental draft guy.
Yeah, but I'm talking about betting too, though. Like,
oh, betting.
Marsh Leister had a bad gambling problem. And I think he was with the Colts in his career, and it just totally sidetracked his career. He never made it in the NFL because of it. So.
But if you can throw a ball around and you can get him in the fourth round, why not?
No chance you're giving up a fourth round pick. I mean, maybe, but I think it'd be a second at the absolute minimum.
Imagine that room now if you add another one to it.
But at least the other one would be a franchise quarterback potential and not like tear him down. Aller, you tear down to the studs and you hope that you could rebuild him.
Potential.
Yeah, all that is potential right now. Tear down to the studs, though. Sorsby, you could hope that you could.
You don't think that Sorsby would come in and McCarthy would do the same exact thing he's doing to Drew Aller with him?
Not to as big of a degree. No. I mean, you watch Drew Aller. This guy is, it's like he's 6 years old and somebody retaught him how to throw a football.
Well, that's fine. You know what? They got the best teacher in the land, right? Is that why they hired him? I'm not interested in Drew Aller. I'm interested in what he can, his arm, his size, his ability. Let the coach him up.
Yeah. I'm equally as optimistic. Equally as optimistic. Ray, would you go after Brendan Sorsby?
I would not go after Sorsby, especially in a year, Noah, where next spring there's supposed to be what? How many quarterbacks are first-round potential guys? I mean, you can see five or six guys potentially go in the top 15 or 20 if they all have good years. So
I definitely
would not take a gamble on a guy who's had some issues off the field.
I agree. All right, Poke Salad here. What's Everett's outlook on playing time? Does he come in before Brandon Echols? Why do people still say we're a running team? This is a passing offense. All right, let's start with the first one here, Dalen Everett. A project, a lot of upside. I think people overlook Brandon Echols and what he did last year and how good he actually is.
He can do a little bit of everything. Jack of all trades. He can play inside. He can play outside. Everett would have to take a huge leap here. I'm not saying that he's not going to make the 53-man roster.
No, he definitely is.
But I wouldn't imagine Brandon Echols has any – I don't think he's looking behind his back here and saying, well, we're Dalen Everett or whatever his name is.
Well, coaches very rarely single guys out in press conference settings. And Patrick Graham singled out Brandon Echols, I think, in his first or second news conference. Somebody asked him, you know, just a generic question about who stood out so far, and he said Brandon Echols. So I think Brandon Echols is going to have a role on this team. And Everett, you know, I know Everett's a third-round pick and Robert Spears Jennings a seventh-round pick, but they're both height, weight, speed guys, right? They both ran really well. They both have size. I think they want to try to figure out where they fit, but I don't think they're necessarily trying to figure out where they fit this season.
Yeah. Can I riff off of this and ask you guys, what's your expectations for Asante Samuel Jr. this season?
He's a spring veteran play into the mix, right? Beyond Porter and I guess I think it prevents Ramsey from having to play outside. I'd like to see him do a little bit of everything. So if Dean or Porter gets nicked up or if Echols, they don't want to move him, they could throw him out there in the pinch. I don't know if he'll be a game day active type of guy either, but I think he's just provides depth just in case. You have to sign him when they did just to cover your rear end, but things probably have changed since then. So he could be a whatever August 29th trade, right?
Oh.
He could be. I mean, he would probably bring something. When I say bring something, I'm talking about like sixth or seventh rounder. I'm not, either cut him or get a seventh rounder type of thing because some of the other guys stepped up.
Yeah. Don't you think he's your best outside backup, though? Like, I agree with you. I think Ramsey and Echols are probably better in the slot. I don't know that you get rid of your top outside backup. And, again, I agree with you, Mark. Like, he might not be like a – game day 46 type of guy, but if Joey Porter goes down or Jamel Dean goes down, he's probably going to be the guy who steps in for you.
He's such a small sample size from him last year, though. We didn't see a ton of him last year, so what we did see of him was impressive where he came back from, but does that translate into moving forward this year? I think that's still an open-ended question.
I agree with that. There's a part of me that believes he could be significantly better than what we saw last year because it was such a small sample size, because he was a year removed from football. And this is a guy with, I think it's like 30 career starts, 36 career starts, and had starter potential before the neck injury. I'm not saying he gets back there. I'm just saying maybe he ends up being a bigger steal than, you know, he looks like right now when it's all said and done. KGK here. Hypothetically, if the Steelers were to make the Super Bowl, what seed would be the easiest route to go? The one where you don't play the Denver Broncos would probably be it. Or the Bills. Or
what are you talking about? All these teams have flaws in the AFC. So I only want to talk about that. You got whatever's happening in New England's happening in New England.
Kansas City. Forgot
you got the quarterback in Denver's iffy. You got a new coach in Buffalo. You got a new coach in Cincinnati. You got a new coach in Baltimore. San Diego's always a – San Diego. The Chargers are always a mess. Chiefs coming off of a Mahomes injury. I mean, it's pretty wide open here. If this is any year to say there's no dominant team, I would say this is the year because everybody has some kind of issue. Right? Am I just looking, reading too much into this?
No, I mean, I agree with you. I don't necessarily think that means the Steelers are going to jump up.
True, because they got issues too.
They got issues.
We're looking at this in May. If I had to pick one team right now, I'd pick Buffalo.
Oh.
I think Buffalo, you know, different coach. Allen is due. I know that's kind of – a lot of people have been due over the years, but I think he's a really, really good player who hasn't gotten there yet. And if we are talking about a weak conference, maybe this is the year Josh Allen gets it, though.
What about Jacksonville?
I was going to say, there might be some sleepers that we're ignoring here. You know, Jacksonville could be one of them. I think Indianapolis could be one of them. You know, Daniel Jones is healthy. I'm not saying he's the reason, but
if Stroud gets things together in Houston, that's a team to look at. But
I have not seen a quarterback play that bad since maybe ever.
Doug Hodges.
I was going to say Doug Hodges. I was going to say Doug. It's been a while since I've seen a quarterback play that bad. I don't know if
you must not watch Cleveland much.
Okay, yeah, that is true.
Shout out. 42 starting quarterbacks in the past 26 years.
That's rough. But the Steelers are catching up. Didn't Pat say he's played for 10 starting quarterbacks? Is that the number? He's got to be close. Oh. It's got to be real close, actually. I think
the Browns are up to 64 since 1950 or something like that. That's amazing.
That's wild. That's so wild. At the end of the day, you can always sleep better knowing that you're not the Browns. Yeah. You're not Cleveland. Yinzer Jake. Hey, Noah, Kabooms and Ray, what's your favorite wing sauce / rub?
I'm not going into rub. I don't believe in the rub on the wings.
I agree with that. I'm not a rub guy.
Yeah, because I had an issue with it one time, so we won't get into that. I'm just a straight hot Buffalo guy. You know, there's that one out in Dino's. Yeah. It was the one that, like, the teriyaki something or another was
not.
I can't remember what it was. You'd have to ask the Fabo that. Double cooked or whatever they call it. But I'm just a straight hot Buffalo sauce. And by the way, before anybody – who said this now? Yinzer Jay, guess what? Went to Buffalo one time. Went to the legendary what's the name of that place? Anchor Bar. Ray Fittabolo ordered chicken nuggets.
No, you did not.
They laughed at him.
Boneless, not chicken nuggets.
You can't order boneless in Buffalo.
They laughed at him. The waiter laughed at him.
I'm a boneless guy too, Ray, but you gotta know the room. You gotta read the room.
Yeah, I would say if I'm not trying to get my name on a wall and like scorch my tongue, I'll probably go like garlic parmesan. Like if I had to go for something different out of the ordinary, I think garlic parmesan is pretty good.
I like mild. If I'm feeling fancy, I'll go like a honey barbecue. But I'm with you guys. Just keep it classic.
Ranch and blue cheese or no?
I'm a blue cheese guy all day.
I'm a ranch guy, but I just use it to dip my French fries in.
I'm more
believe in the.
Oh, see, that's why I like a boneless. You know what I mean? You could just devour that.
I'm a wing guy, not a ding guy, not a wing guy.
Drum guy. Flat. blue cheese is like one of those things you don't try until you're like 30 and then you love it. It's like Brussels sprouts. It's like Brussels sprouts.
That's exactly it. I actually went through such an addictive blue cheese phase that my sister for Christmas 1 year bought me a t-shirt that just said blue cheese on it and then a gallon of blue cheese. So shout out to being adults here. Maddie, do you see the Steelers trading for anybody? If so, who?
You already said it. You said Patrick Queen.
Trading out.
I don't know if they trade for anybody.
Trading for anyone. Okay.
Trading out PQ would be my name to watch. Yeah. PQ, Alex Highsmith. I don't feel good about either of them, but they both like make sense. Like if you sign Nick Herbig, I think there's a chance that you explore trades for Alex Highsmith. I wouldn't do that, but I think there's a chance.
First pet peeve of I have is everybody that has their name here. Can't you just put your name? What is OU Mads? OU Mads. OU Mads, I think, was referring to who they might bring in. I think he might be referring to wide receiver. I don't think they will do that unless they are forced to do that by the end of training camp, saying Roman Wilson stinks, Bernard's not going to make it, we need to add somebody. I think that's the only way that would happen.
But even then, you're not going to add a big name. Like, you're not going to add Brandon Ayuk or
– Oh, Cotri that 1 year. Remember him?
Who?
That was a great pickup.
That was a training camp, weekend of training camp. Jericho Cotri ended up with 11 touchdowns.
Yeah.
Few and far between, but
– Was he added in training camp?
Yeah, he was added right in training camp.
Wow. I don't remember that. I know he was great for the couple years he was here. I do not remember when he came, though.
Yeah, it was right during training camp. I think they brought Burris in for a workout. You remember that? Then they end up, I think they end up signing Cotri at that point. Great guy. But the pickings will be slim by then. So I wouldn't imagine any trade at all, to be honest with you.
No, me neither. I also want to point out, and this will be the last time that I bust you, Caboli, but you did get mad at the one name that's OU Mad, as in calling you out for being mad. So ironically, that's
I'm just saying a lot of people just put these names I can't pronounce. You couldn't pronounce one of them so far.
Nah, we're guessing, you know, we just guess. Shout out to Maddie.
It's a poke. It's a pokey
poke. Like half these guys, we half of this is chats from all of our podcasts, so we know. Braden, where is Darnell Savage? Good to see you, Kaboom. Wish you were on McAfee more. Agreed, dude.
Yeah, we just need had more. A kid. Congratulations, Pat.
You did, dude. Shout out to Pat. Congratulations. Yeah,
named the kid Midas.
What a touch. Really?
I believe so.
It's like a car company. I won't tell him that.
Midas. Well. What was the question again? Now,
Is Darnell Savage? We understand what's happening with Darnell Savage, but at what point do the Steelers just move on? Do they ever move on?
Maybe the thing that they asked him to get fixed was not fixed.
That's what I'm feeling.
Well, it's better than the Max Crosby incident. So,
yeah, true. Ray, do they move on at any point?
Yeah, I think they could eventually do that, but I don't think – I mean, at this point, guys, you're already in the middle of OTAs. Maybe it happens in June if, you know, they clear up what they have to clear up. But, yeah, I don't think it's necessary either. I think they got plenty of depth in the D-back room right now anyway.
I do agree with that. My thing is, once somebody emerges, once you find that safety that you're going, oh, that guy actually looks kind of impressive, and I don't know who that's going to be yet. But once that happens, if Darnell Savage isn't here, don't bring Darnell Savage in.
They got two guys from New England last year, and Darnell Savage reminds me of both of those guys. So
he does. But he's got to be here to show that he could be.
Hey, he can't be any worse than Juan Thornhill, can he?
You mean the guy that said that they're going to be elite defense?
Yeah. The greatest defense of all time. Potentially the greatest defense of all time.
I
swear to you guys,
I think us, the fans, the media, the only ones that realized Thornhill was no good. I think the Steelers really believed he was good.
The Steelers were sold that guy was going to be really good. Sold that he was going to be good.
What game was it where he jumped up and mistimed the interception?
Packers game. Was it the Packers?
5 seconds?
Yeah, that was bad. That was bad.
That's when you knew it was over.
I think
he was cut the next day.
Yeah.
I love a quote, but.
Look, the defense got pretty good after he left. So, you know, just saying. Just saying. Let's finish it off here with KGK for life. Who do you predict is the next Madden cover star? My pick is Myles Garrett. I think my pick is also Myles Garrett.
Don't they do multiple ones now, or do they? Harken back on my WWE games. They put like six different covers out.
Yeah, they put like the legendary thing out, but that wouldn't be a guy that's currently here. So it would. Who would be the guy in the NFL currently?
It wouldn't be anybody in Seattle. I would guess. I mean, I would stink if it's Myles Garrett and they left out T.J. Watt a couple of years back.
Yeah, but Myles Garrett's the chosen child. T.J. Watt's just J.J. Watt's brother.
And Myles set the record. T.J. just tied it.
Well, that's true.
Depends on who you ask, right?
Yeah, it depends on who you ask. Tyson Alualu gave me a very stern, don't ever say tied again in the locker room one day. And I said, yeah, I got it. Never again.
With calves that size, you listen to him.
Always. Yeah, I think Myles would be it. Do you believe in the Madden curse?
Well, Antonio Brown didn't get – well, maybe I would – Antonio Brown had a huge year when he was on it, but maybe that was a lifetime achievement award of being cursed.
What year was AB on it?
Oh, 17 or 18.
Yeah, 17 or 18, somewhere in that ballpark.
18, he imploded at the end of the year.
Yeah.
Well, he had a great year, whatever year it was, with the Steelers.
It was a slow roll, you know, but it is come back tenfold.
You ever watch the documentary?
The AB documentary?
It was not good.
There is an – I did not even know that.
I think it's on Prime Video. It's really bad. It's really not good.
I would imagine it's terrible. I would imagine it's not good at all. But now I'm going to watch it, though.
I remember the week after the New Orleans game, he shows up at – Acrisure in a fur coat on the sidelines. Then we find out after the game he was sent home. So
that's awesome.
Very well, I've been doing this for whatever, 23, 24 years. Very well could be the best player I ever saw play. I honestly believe that. That's how good that guy was.
Look, he needed to be good because he was 10 times as crazy. So, you know, it evens out. It evens out for sure. All right. With that said, we're heading out of here. Thank you guys so much for jumping on to episode 2 of Steelers Collective. Before you head out of here, hit that like and subscribe button. We're back next Tuesday and every Tuesday talking Pittsburgh Steelers football. Until then, enjoy a beautiful day in the burg.